Thank you, Jesus. You know, I am so thankful for the tangible presence of God. You know, sometimes you go through life and it feels like you're in a desert. You know, it's like, God, where you at? And then other times, man, you just know he's there with you. This morning, I'm going to minister on nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And you can turn with me to Luke chapter 1. You know, we go through life and even being Christians, you know, we know who God is, yet just day to day going through life circumstances, sometimes we lose sight of who God is, you know. I mean, when we think about it, God who created the universe, I mean, nothing, you know, nothing is impossible with God, no matter what it looks like. So Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 26. Says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So, obviously, according to man, this would seem impossible, but says the angel clearly said, with God everything is possible. And then what's important here is that Mary accepted and believed that word. She said, according to thy word, you know. So it's like when God speaks something to us, when you hear God's word, you just got to believe and stand on it, no matter how far-fetched it seems, you know. That is so important, because and the important thing here is it says, he says, with God nothing shall be impossible. It's with God, you know. So that is so important. It's not us. It's not man on his own. It's with God. Okay, now go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to start at verse 16, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Matthew 19:16, and someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life, that is, eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom? Jesus answered, Why are you asking me about what is good? There was only one who was good. But if you wish to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. He said to Jesus, Which commandments? And Jesus answered, You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is, to unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The young man said to him, I have kept all these things from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus answered him, If you wish to be perfect, that is, to have the spiritual maturity that accompanies godly character with no moral or ethical deficiencies, go and sell what you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, becoming my disciple, believing and trusting in me, and walking the same path of life that I walk. But when the young man heard this, he left grieving and distressed, for he owned much property and had many possessions, which he treasured more than his relationship with God. Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, it is difficult for a rich man who clings to possessions and status as security to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man who places his faith in wealth and status to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were completely astonished and bewildered, saying, Then who can be saved from the wrath of God? But Jesus looked at them and said, With people, as far as it depends on them, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So Jesus is telling the disciples, and therefore telling us, that all things are possible with God. And we know Jesus does not lie. He tells the truth. And of course, he's referencing the rich man there, which, you know, that's what happens. You can see that in which people, you know, they accumulate a lot of wealth and they're like, well, I don't need God because I've got all my needs met with wealth. Now, a lot of us, we may not be necessarily rich, but just going through daily circumstances, we find, you know, the devil's always attacking, you know, he's always wanting to get off track. And sometimes we lose that fact that every need that we have is met by God, because God said all things are possible with him. So it's so important to just, you know, that's what we got to encourage ourselves every day. You know, renew your mind in God's word every day. Because the more you can stay in God, you know, the more you can think and meditate on God, the more that becomes a reality and the more easier it is to go forth, remembering that everything is possible with God. So now if you will go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 5. Says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, So I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So, this, again, is something that is impossible, yet Jesus proved it is possible with God. And the important thing here is, you know, obviously the Bible talks about going and laying hands on the sick, you know, you pray for them. But Jesus, it doesn't say Jesus did that. Here, it just says Jesus spoke, and he was healed. So this goes hand in hand with knowing that all things are possible with God. Because what happens is, if something happens, you go through a rough circumstance, if you start complaining and start speaking doubt about what you're going through, well then yes, it's going to seem impossible. But if something happens and you speak the truth, you speak God's word, then you're going to realize more quickly that yes, all things are possible with God. So knowing that all things are possible with God goes hand in hand by speaking God's word, no matter what it looks like. I'm sure that if there was somebody in earshot with this, that heard Jesus say this to this man, that probably knew this man was sick, they probably would be like, what is this guy talking about? I've been here, you know, it's like he may have had, you know, the sick man, you know, he was laying there for who knows how many years, and he probably had other people that were there that knew him, and they probably heard Jesus talk to this man. They're like, this guy's been laying here, you know, lame for many, many years, and you tell him to get up and walk? Sure, like, and then they see it happen, you know? So that's why it's also important to, the devil's going to come after you, and he's going to speak doubt. He's going to try to get you off course, so you got to speak God's word, because when you speak God's word, it's going to keep you on the course. Okay, I got one more here. If you go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. says, God, having spoken to the fathers long ago in the voices and writings of the prophets in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in many ways has in these last days spoken with finality to us in the person of one who is by his character and nature, his Son, namely Jesus, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, through whom also he created the universe, that is, the universe as a space-time matter continuum. The Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being, the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal, when he himself and no other had, by offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, accomplished purification from sins and established all freedom from guilt, he sat down, revealing his completed work at the right hand of the majesty on high, revealing his divine authority. So this here tells us that the entire world, the entire universe, physical and spiritual, it's all here because of God's word. So it shows you the power of God's word. And also it says that he completed his work. When he died on the cross and sat, now sits at the right hand of God, the work is done. So what's important about that is that no matter what you have need of, it's already fulfilled. When it says he's completed the work, that means it's already done. So we don't look at it in the natural, we look at it in the spiritual, that it's already done. So anything you have need of, you just thank him for, you know, thank you that my need is already met. And you speak that, you got to continue to speak that, because it's so easy, again, just day to day, you know, your circumstances, it's so easy to get off track and start doubting God. And that's what I like about that verse, is it says the entire universe, you know, spiritual and physical, it's all propelling forward just because he spoke, you know. So it shows you so much the power of your words. And what I did too is I wrote down a couple here. You can write these verses down when I go over them. But, you know, when you speak God's word, no matter what your circumstances is, it's not that you're denying reality, you know. I like the, you know, I've heard many preachers say this, you know, there's the facts, but then there's the truth. So I did a couple of those, you know, like I put down here, a fact, maybe you're sick in body, but then here's the truth, which is 1 Peter 2:24. Who is his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So that's past tense. He's already completed that. If you're sick in body, you're healed. You just got to believe it and you accept and you stand on that word. And then another one is maybe a fact is that you have little or no money. But the truth is in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So anything that you have need of, it's supplied. You just got to speak. You got to stand on that word. I put down another one, a fact. Maybe you have a broken relationship with someone. But the truth says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, again, if there's any relationship that you have that's been broken, you know, that's what the devil does. The devil comes in and he separates relationships. That's what he did to mankind and God. Well, through Jesus Christ, God reconciled that. So you can speak to that relationship. You know, you can speak truth to it, no matter what it looks like. And I did one more here. Maybe a fact is that there's a sin that, you know, Paul talks about that so easy besets us, maybe a sin that you just feel like you're bound to, like you cannot get out of. But the truth is that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So no matter what it looks like, it doesn't mean that you go out there and you purposely sin, but it's like when you mess up and make that mistake, you speak the truth of God's word. You say, nope, devil, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because it's not me, it's Jesus Christ in me. And so that, again, that shows you the how things in the natural can look impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. It's so important, man. I mean, again, because I know this happens to me, you know, day to life, circumstances come up and you think, man, how's this going to work out, you know? Yet God says all things are possible. So it's like you got to stand on that word no matter what it looks like. No matter what the devil is telling you, no matter what the voices are trying to tell you, all things are possible. And then the last thing I kind of want to point out too is it's important, which I think I mentioned already, but it's important not to complain about your circumstances. Because what happens is the devil takes that and then he uses it against you, you know? Like in the court of law, you know, anything you say can be used against you. Well, if you start complaining about something, what's going to happen, because again, your words are powerful, well, the devil can hear that and he's going to take that and turn it right back at you. And it can be effective. So that's why it's important not to complain. You know, you can have your thoughts and stuff. The devil can't read your thoughts. He doesn't know your thoughts. God, it says God knows the intents and hearts of the thought. But you don't, so just don't speak it. You know, sometimes you get those thoughts, you got to bring them in subjection, but then speak the truth. Speak God's word. So that's why I encourage you today is just, no matter what it is that you go through, no matter what circumstance you're in, speak the truth. Speak God's word. Stand on it. Because it's got, when God says all things are possible, that's truth. So that is it.
Amen. That was really good. Thank you, Lord. Wow. This is just going to be repetition. Today I'm going to talk about keep your faith strong even in the questioning. So go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 4. Thank you, Lord. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom using clever rhetoric, but they were delivered in demonstration of the Holy Spirit operating through me and of his power stirring the minds of the listeners and persuading them so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom and rhetoric of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those spiritually mature believers who have teachable hearts and a greater understanding. But it is a higher wisdom, not the wisdom of this present age, nor of the rulers and leaders of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God, that wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, to lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age recognized and understood this wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written in Scripture, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. We also speak of these things not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual thoughts with spiritual words for those being guided by the Holy Spirit. But the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated, and he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals, yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. And then skip over to chapter 3, verse 3. You are still worldly, controlled by ordinary impulses, the sinful capacity. For as long as there is jealousy and strife and discord among you, are you not unspiritual? And are you not walking like ordinary men, unchanged by faith? And the reason why I'm bringing that one out after reading that second chapter is because the only way we stay away from this is if we get changed by faith. Amen? We need questions, obviously, are going to come. You know, from the very beginning of time, every time something has happened, every time God has spoken to people, most of the time they question him. If they don't question him out loud, they question him in their hearts. Because our understanding is so limited in this world. We see things through such a small mind, basically. We don't have full understanding of past, of the future. We think that we know everything. You know, man tries to create things and tries to explain things away. But without the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and without the Holy Spirit showing man and revealing to him things that have been and things that will come, our ideas are foolishness. They're absurdity to the Lord, in fact. They're so strange that it's kind of like a child, you know, trying to tell his parents, you know, well, I don't need a job someday. I'm just going to go live on my own and off the world, you know, and the parents are like, sure. You go right ahead. See how far that'll take you. Because in a child's mind, they don't grasp how big and how much they have to do. It's just like us. We see this world and we do things and we think, you know, I can just handle all this on my own. I can just do things on my own. I can achieve things on my own. I can speak on my own. I can make my own conclusions. I can do all this on my own. And God is looking at us and he's like, no, you can't. I know the future. I know what it holds. You do not. Amen. So have you ever found yourself questioning what God has told you, whether it may be possible or how long it is taking for his word to be fulfilled in your life? We don't know exactly what will happen each day of our lives, except for prophecies in the word, what God has spoken. We live each day not knowing what will happen, good or bad. That is one of the most important reasons for us to keep our faith in God, the only one who knows all past, present, and future. God created time itself. He created you for a reason and a purpose. Amen. For centuries, people have tried to figure out questions of the universe because they cannot bring themselves to believe that there is only one true God, and especially believe that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him, Jesus Christ, will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. What God has spoken to you, hold fast to his word to you. He says in his word that he loves you, right? He will never stop loving you, not because of what you do or what you have done or even what you will do in the future. If that is the only word that you can remember that God has spoken, that word will hold you in the hardest times of your life. The hardest moments, the moments where you're questioning everything in your life. Keep the faith that you know that God loves you. Amen. There are several examples in the Bible where God has sent his angels to speak to his people. And I love how God greets them. And I'm just going to share a few. So to Gideon, when the angel appeared to him, and remember, Gideon was like the lowest of the lows of the tribe of Israel. He would be like the person who was living in the poorest house, you know, and didn't have a reputation. Nobody knew who he was. He was just trying to survive. He said, the angel of the Lord comes to him and he says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Isn't that awesome? And then to Daniel, who was seeking the Lord in prayer and fasting, and all he wanted was the Lord. He wanted to know, hear God's voice. The angel of the Lord greets him with, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And then Michael already read this, but I'm going to say it again. To Mary, just an ordinary girl. She's just going about her life, doing what all the Israelites do, following the commands of the Lord, serving faithfully. The angel says to her, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I love that because God takes ordinary people and he thinks that you are extraordinary. You may think that you're just a normal person going about in your normal life and you're not making an impact on anybody. You're just trying to survive some days. It feels like you're just trying to get to the next step. And yet God has such a grand purpose for your life. And you may not see it right now. And you may think, well, I'm just one person, but you may be in the generation of a person that changes the world. You know, sometimes us moms, we have children and we think, you know, you get in this like routine of you're just raising your children. But can you imagine Billy Graham's mom, if she would have given up and not have had Billy Graham, where would he be at today? Imagine all of these people in the world, their parents or the people that ministered to them, or maybe it was just one person in the church who encouraged them and gave them a word of the Lord that they need to hear just at that right time in their lives to get them to that next step. Amen. Don't discount yourself. Don't think that you're just a person that just comes to church and you're not that important and nobody thinks that you're important, because you are. You are beyond important. You are loved by God. Amen. So this word that God has spoken to you, whatever he has said to you, doesn't change even when your feelings do. When circumstances and trials shake your faith, it does not change. His word does not return to him void. Amen. Meaning it doesn't come back to him empty. You will not go back to him empty. You will go back to the Lord filled with the Spirit of life. Sorry. You will go back to the Lord filled with the Spirit of life, bringing generations with you. Hold on to your faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you turn to Psalm 39 with me? I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 39. Thank you, Jesus. We cannot walk in the Spirit without the Holy Spirit, without the power of God in us. We cannot. 39 verse 1. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Amen. I was reading this, and it was just so powerful to me because, you know, have you ever had those moments where you're just like, you don't want to say anything, and then you end up saying something anyway, and it's like, oh, why did I say that? You know, it's like, you know, we're going to do that sometimes. We're all human beings. We're going to say the wrong thing. But the Holy Spirit rescues us. When we say the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit rescues us. So turn to James chapter 1. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation again. James chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read verse 19 and then I'm going to skip down. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And then go down to verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So just like it says back in 1 Corinthians, we cannot do any of this spiritual walk without the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way that we're going to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, the only way we're going to do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way that we're going to walk in the power of God and what His will is for our life is by walking in the Spirit. When we get to the point where we feel like, well, I just can't go on anymore. I've tried this and it just seems like I just can't make it to the next step. Turn to the Lord. Amen. Just like Michael was saying, with God, all things are possible. Amen. We are not ordinary people. Amen. You need to remember that. God created us to be extraordinary, but He also created us to have faith in Him. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God expects us, He expects us to grow. You know, it's just like we expect our children to grow. You know, when they reach a certain age, we expect them to learn how to walk. We expect them to learn how to talk. We expect them to learn how to take care of themselves. We expect them as they get older to learn how to drive, to know how to get a job, to know how to take care of their finances. We expect that of them because that's how you grow in life. And that's just what we expect. It's the same thing when you're walking in the Spirit. When you're growing in the Spirit, When you're at the beginning, God is very, very patient with you. He's patient with you your entire spiritual walk. But he's even more patient at the beginning because you're going to say all the wrong things and do all the wrong things, and you're going to make people upset. But as you grow in the Lord, it's just like watching a baby as they learn how to walk and talk. It's the same way with us. We may not know exactly how to walk and talk at the beginning, but as we get into the Word and we learn by the Holy Spirit and by His power and learn who we are in Christ, our identity, then we learn how to walk in the Spirit. We learn how to talk in the Spirit. Just like Michael was saying, you know, it's important not to complain. When we're complaining, what that is us living in the natural realm, and how easy it is for us to do that. Even the most mature Christian will find themselves making those mistakes over and over again if they keep going back to it, because complaining is an easy thing to do. You want other people to understand how you feel. You know, you want them to understand what you're going through and how things are affecting your life. And so you feel like, if I just complain about it, somebody needs to hear how I feel, you know? And so you just feel like you have to complain. But don't let that go too far, because complaining actually grieves the Lord. It grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. While you're speaking doubt and unbelief, He's on the inside of you saying, no, that's not how it is. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have made a way for you. I know this circumstance looks bad, but I will deliver you through this. And so you have to trust in Him. Amen. You know, when the angel appeared to Mary, you know, not long before that, an angel appeared to Zacharias, and the angel told him, you know, your wife is barren, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name John. And you know, the amazing thing is Zacharias questioned the angel. Well, how is this going to be? I'm old. You know, I don't know how this is going to happen. And the angel says, it's going to happen, even though you have doubted, but because you have doubted, now you won't speak. And so the angel later on goes to Mary, and Mary says, God, how will this happen? But then she says, be it done unto me as you say. And so even though she questioned, she believed in her heart that God was going to fulfill that somehow, some way. Zacharias did not believe. And so there's a difference when you are hearing from the Lord and He's given you a word. Don't question your faith in Him. Don't question that what He has told you will not happen. It may not happen how you imagine it. Don't question God. Amen. And in your questioning, don't lose your faith. Amen. Because your faith in God is what will bring through whatever you need in life. Amen. Okay, I just have one more. You can just write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. You know, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we become like Him. It's just like your kids, as you get older, you know, and they become adults, sometimes they just want to get away from you because they want to do their own thing and be their own person. And then they realize, you know, I really do need that relationship with my parents. And so the more they spend with their parents, you know, the more that bond is there, and they actually become like their parents more and more and more. And that's like us being with the Lord. We need to be with Him every single day, every single day, every moment. I know that we're living and we have to live our lives, but our minds should be fixed on the Lord. Did you know that? I just heard this from a preacher last week that the Hebrew word for worship is also the same for work. And so if you go to work, or you're working in your house, or you're working anywhere, you're actually worshiping the Lord with your work. Isn't that awesome? So don't feel like, you know, I'm working and I have no time for the Lord. Stay faithful to what you're doing, because that is worship to the Lord. Amen? So do you want your life to be changed today? Is there a part of you that feels like nothing is getting better, that it's the same old problems, the same old failures, the same old hurts that keep pulling you down? Let the Spirit of the Lord set you free. Have faith in the Spirit of the Lord to come into your life and set you free so that you can be changed and the righteousness of God will be revealed in your life. You need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you to change every part of you. Amen. It's time for all of us. Whatever has happened in the past, we need to forget about it. Whatever happens in the future, we need to not worry about it. And whatever is happening in our lives right now, we need to get through it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to walk out these doors today in freedom. We need to lay down our chains here. Keep them here. Stop picking them up every time you walk out those doors. Every time you go through life, you think, I just can't let go of this. You can. You can let go of things. You can let the past go. You can let hurts go with the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try it. You can try as much as you want, and how hard it is to do things on our own. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Michael said, with God, all things are possible. Amen. So one more thing, and then I'm going to close out. On Wednesday, I was sharing with everyone what Annette Capps had. I had watched a sermon from hers, and she said, you know, a lot of times, we think that the word is just like a magic trick. Like we can just say a word and it just magically appears. And she said, but without faith, none of that will happen. You have to believe what God is saying is true in your life. And so whatever you have need in your life, you need to search the word, search the scriptures, and find out what it is that you're in need, any area that you're lacking in your life, and stand on that word. Whether you want to memorize it or write it down and put it in front of your eyes, whatever it takes. If you want your life to change, then you have to make an effort to want it to be changed. You know, it's just like when our children, you know, like when we want them to learn something, we work with them and we work with them and we work with them until they get it. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, working with you. He's reminding you of what the word says. He's showing you, this is what you need to do. Keep standing on the word. Keep believing in me. When you're in pain, say that you are healed by Jesus' stripes. When you go to the doctors, pray that God gives them wisdom to treat your body so that you'll be well taken care of. Amen. Frank just had this open heart surgery, and apparently he recovered too quickly. Only God can do those kind of things. Amen. Don't give up on what he has told you to do in life. Don't give up on what he has spoken to you, because you are not ordinary people. You are extraordinary. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and stand. Thank you, Lord. Just a reminder, if you need prayer, we are always here to pray for you. Any need that you have in your life, we will agree with you, and God will have his way in your life. Amen? Amen. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you that with you, God, all things are possible. We choose to keep our faith in you, God. We choose to love you, to honor you, to bring you glory. God, we need you in every area of our lives. Lord, draw us close to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you that each one, every person here, God, they are healed by Jesus' stripes. They are strengthened. They are renewed. Every plan that they have for this week will go smoothly. Thank you for providing every need in Jesus' name, whatever it is, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for our time next door, God, the fellowship with each other. Lord, let our words be ordered by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.